This Sunday is the second Sunday in Lent, and Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon on the Old Testament reading coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Additional scripture readings are Psalm 121, the epistle found in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and 13 through 17. And the Holy Gospel comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So here is the pastor, David Magruder, the pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, with the sermon for this Sunday entitled, Faith Full.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The theme running through all of the Bible readings this morning and connects them is one word, faith. That is, trust in the promise of God. Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is bottom line Christianity. This is the core of what Christians believe and confess. This is what sets Christianity apart from the world's religions, and what many people don't get. God justifies the ungodly. God counts faith in his promise as righteousness, and God gives this faith as an unearned and undeserved gift, completely apart from any work that we do. Abraham is the pattern of this. He believed God. He took God at his word and trusted him. Of all the people on earth, God singled out this one man, 75 years old, married, and childless, a wealthy man who shared his financial empire with his nephew Lot. God chose Abraham. It's interesting that the scriptures never say why God chose Abraham. He simply came to Abraham and told him to pull up his tent pegs, leave his homeland, and dwell as a nomad in a land that didn't belong to him. God promised Abraham that he would be a great nation, even though he and Sarah, his wife, were childless in their old age, and that in him and through his seed, his offspring, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. This promise came before Abraham did anything at all. Abraham didn't say a prayer, nor did God offer any kind of a deal. God just told Abraham how it would be. And Abraham believed God. He trusted what the Lord had spoken to him. Abraham was faithful, that is, full of faith. He took God at his word, and God counted that trust of Abraham as righteousness before him. And that is the only way an unrighteous sinner like me or you can stand before a righteous God. Not based on what we do, but on the basis of trust in the promise of God. We stand before God justified solely by God's grace alone. It's a gift from Him to us, unearned and undeserved. And we stand justified before God based on Jesus Christ alone, His life, His righteousness, His cross death for our sins, and His resurrection from the grave. If you took a survey of people around you and asked them what they thought Christianity was all about, they'll often speak in terms of our effort, stuff we do, or at least are supposed to do. They'll speak first in terms of morality, being good, decent, and proactive, but always according to their standard. You might even find a few who answer that it has something to do with going to a church and being a decent person. And those are markers of our faith, fruits of faith, the product of faith. They are what people see from our faith, but they are not the basis of our faith or what we look to for comfort and assurance. Paul wrote it so clearly to the Romans. He said, "For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression." The law brings wrath. The law of God is death to the sinner, and sinners we all are. And that was true of old Father Abraham, too. The condition of sin is so deep and so pervasive in our lives that simple religious rehab won't work. We can't be fixed, at least not with anything we do. The law of God, as holy and good as it is, will work death in us. St. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4, "But where there is no law, there is no transgression." So how in the world are we ever going to be out from under the judgment of God's law? Listen, sin ends where the law ends. And Paul wrote in another place, "Christ is the end of the law for all who believe." In other words, sin ends where Christ begins. Christ is the end of the law, so Christ is the end of sin. It's as the Bible says in Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. For God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, and thus is describing you and me in Jesus, a new you in Christ, who lives trusting Jesus and not your own deeds." Which brings us to the Holy Gospel and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was focused on doing. That's what his religion was about, doing the righteousness of God. Jesus flips the religious tables on him and comes out with a statement that at first hearing sounds like he wasn't even listening to Nicodemus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, or better, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Now that is unmistakably baptismal language. Unless one is created anew, born from above, by the working of the Holy Spirit, with the Word, in the water, one cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood born of Adam and corrupted by sin cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Adam wants nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Adam wants to be God in his own kingdom. Adam must die. Christ must rise. Of course, this puzzles Nicodemus greatly, and who can really blame him? He's losing his religion one sentence at a time. He was a teacher of Israel, a respected member of his community. He stood before his congregation every Sabbath and preached the righteousness of God from the law of Moses. He could quote the Bible backward and forward, and yet missed the message entirely. Occupied with works and doing and commandment keeping, he missed entirely the central theme and focus of the Old Testament word. Abraham believed God, and that faith, that trust, was credited to him as righteousness before God. Faith alone in the promise alone, by God's grace alone. The promise must be believed, trusted, as Abraham trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We must believe that we have become new creations in Christ, that the old has gone, that the law with its commandments are fulfilled, that death has lost its sting. We must believe that we have been born anew from above in the spirited water of baptism to a new life of faith in Christ and love for the Nicodemuses of this world. We must believe that this Jesus, lifted up on the cross as Moses once lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, that this Jesus is the antidote to the venom of sin, and that looking on him in faith, we will live even though we die. We must believe that God loves the world in this way, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that is, trusts in the promise of forgiveness, has what he believes, namely eternal life. We must believe, take God at his word, that God did not send his Son to condemn the world, for the world was already condemned by the law. Instead, he sent his Son born of a woman, born under the law to redeem fallen humanity, to save the world by his own dying and rising. Take God at his word. Stand and live in the faithful shoes of Abraham. Trust the promise of salvation in Jesus. It will be counted to you as righteousness. You have his word on it. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us all confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please join us in the prayer that the Lord has taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
Until next week, go in peace and serve the Lord.